Recording in progress.
Are we in fine voice this morning? Yes, you sound good. I'm a bit croaky this morning. I was shouting at the telly rather a lot last night, so so don't be concerned if I cough. But it's good to come and to worship together and to praise God openly and freely. And as you know, we've been working our way through the Acts of the Apostles. That's Acts as in action. And a few weeks ago, we were thinking about what we have to give, what we have to offer. And Peter said, didn't he, what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Last week, we were thinking about the word of God and that Jesus will not be censored, no matter what society throws at us. But as we're starting to learn, as we look at the journey of those early apostles, that the consequences and that come from their actions are quite interesting. And the gospel has only got as far as Jerusalem. It's difficult to believe, isn't it, in this day and age when the gospel stretches to almost all nations, that at the time that we're thinking about Acts, that at that time it's mainly, well, basically only in Jerusalem, but we're going to see it going out into the all nations as we approach a few more chapters time. But also that opportunity, you know, we know that sometimes we're going to have to struggle for the gospel, but what a glorious opportunity to share our stories with people. So I have a call to worship by Tom Schumann, and it says, "Here in this place, God welcomes all the dreamers as well as the doubters. Here the warriors and the wanderers can call on God by name. Here in this time, we can remember all the ways God has graced us. Here in these moments, we are reminded that God is with us always. Here are gathered those daring enough to step out of comfort into the unknown. Here, in this faith space, we will find the courage to cry out, 'God save us in every situation.' Amen." And so we'll join together and sing number 200, remembering God's faithfulness to each one of us. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
a good one to get us going, isn't it? Let's continue our praise as we come to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we have the privilege of coming together to worship in your most holy name today. As your family, as your people, in this place, Lord, but also beyond when we leave later on. Thank you as we have just sung and praise you for your faithfulness to each one of us, for the blessings of the week just gone, for the blessings of the week to come. Lord God, we do not gather in vain, for you are working in each of our hearts. It is the love of Jesus Christ that calls us together. And as we worship, Lord, it strengthens us and empowers us. Lord, may we be people of praise and gratitude. May we be willing to share the good news, the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ that shines in our lives, Lord, and has to shine out into our community, Lord, that is searching and seeking for hope, for reassurance and truth. Lord, we thank you that you've entrusted us with your word, with your mission, Lord, that we journey with you, that we share the work with you through the power of your Holy Spirit. And it is the same Holy Spirit, Lord, that enables us to proclaim the good news with boldness. But Lord, we know sometimes we feel weak, we feel unworthy, we feel like we don't know enough. But Lord, we thank you that you equip us, and that you strengthen us, and all we have to do is ask. Lord, may we be committed to gather together more often in worship, to be able to study your word together, to come together in prayer, all the things, Lord, that your word tells us to do. Lord, we thank you that as we look out, that the love of Jesus Christ is at work in our world. Lord, we'll have our prayers of intercession later, but so often our news is consumed with bad news. But Lord, let us look out on our environment, Lord, with your eyes, so that we would see the love and the hope and the joy, Lord, of all that you are doing in the lives of people despite their struggles. Lord, help us. Help us when we have doubts. Help us when we feel unworthy. Help us when our worries overwhelm us and consume us. Lord, help us to remember that you walk alongside us and your Holy Spirit abides in those who believe in you. Lord, we praise you that you want your relationship with humankind, Lord, to be as it was. And Lord, we come today to praise you because the hope is, Lord, our hope that keeps us all going and motivates us is that one day we will be back together in that relationship that you first wanted. Lord, we thank you and praise your holy name. And we continue our prayers as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. That's the good news, that when we do God stuff, we don't do it by ourselves. And so we'll join together and sing 1008. And reassuring ourselves that we will follow him all the days of our lives, for he is with us. Let's sing, the Lord's my shepherd. So as we continue to follow the gospel journey, we see it continuing to spread in Jerusalem. And as we realise, it's starting to attract attention. That's good, isn't it? It's good that the gospel's attracting attention. We don't feel that sometimes, do we? We're like, ooh, it's getting uncomfortable. So as I said last week, if you keep your bookmark in your Bibles for the next however many weeks, you're always going to be in the right place, because we're looking at Acts chapter 5 this morning. But we also realise that the persecution from unbelievers, and particularly those in power and authority, is beginning to accelerate. The Sanhedrin has become more aware of the apostles' teaching and are particularly upset because they're preaching that Jesus rose from the dead. And if you remember last week, Peter was very outspoken in saying to them, "The one that you killed." And so now they start to confront the apostles, to resist in earnest the gospel teaching. And as we hear our passage this morning, they will be arrested and beaten. So I'll ask Pauline if she'll come and give us our reading, please.
I'm reading from Acts chapter 5 on page 1097. Acts chapter 5, verses 17 to 42. The heading for this is "The Apostles Persecuted." Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of the people, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priest were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in prison are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After this, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people to revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men, and you will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
If you remember last week, I quoted from John Stott, who said of the passage before that the Sadducees could arrest the apostles, but not the gospel. And it's the apostles' faithfulness and commitment and submission to the Holy Spirit is why we have the gospel message today, and why we therefore have to be the messengers for the generations to come. But we do that with confidence and assurance and trust, and as we obey God's word. And so we'll sing number 760, "Trust and Obey." As the music plays, I want to say, look, Mum, no hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can sing your praises, that we can hear your word read to us, that we can come here and pray and worship. Lord, as we now listen for your word to each one of us, open our hearts, Lord, to receive more of you. May we just concentrate on you and what you have to say to each one of us. Amen. I remember speaking with a very dear, and I'm going to say very mature, because you know I never say old, very mature friend of mine who said, we don't sing stand up for Jesus anymore. And many have forgotten the words. I would add, neither do those who remember them put them into action. So the next Sunday we sang, stand up for Jesus. But as we've looked at the passage, as we've heard the passage read to us this morning, and we all hear different things and think different things as we hear it, it contains, doesn't it, so many of the worldly emotions and motivations that are common in our world today, nearly 2,000 years later. In verse 17, we see that jealousy, they're a little bit worried now because, you know, their power could be overthrown because the gospel is gathering momentum. Verse 24, we see that they're perplexed. That happens when God intervenes. In verse 26, that they're afraid or they're fearful of what the people might do. It'd be great, wasn't it, if we could see that uprising now, that people would be afraid of what the people of the gospel might do. And by the time we get to verse 33, they're enraged. The gospel does that to people when they don't want to hear the truth. So I've just picked out some things that sort of struck me as I was reading through the passage, as I have been through the week. And in verse 20, they're told to, by the angel of God, to speak to the people all the words of this life. Some versions say this or the way. And if you were listening to what you were singing, verse 5 actually says, all will walk by his side in the way. What we have is the way walking with us, but also becoming a way of life. We follow the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to God, no matter what anybody else says. And that's why the gospel is offensive to so many other religious groups, because Jesus is the only way to God. He is the only living God. And that is why the gospel offends. Not just 2,000 years later, as we were reading, but 2,000 years now, as we'll hear in a moment. But Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's now bold and honest in his accusations. And so should we be, because we put Jesus on the cross too. It was our sins that put him there. But it's so interesting when we read the account that they're told to go out at daybreak. Just reminded me, a bit of a shudder went through me as I remembered my sunrise challenges. If you see the time that the sun rises at the moment, you know, at daybreak, that's, you know, for those of us who don't do mornings. But as I was thinking about the passage, for those of you who perhaps get the Bible in 1 year, who read it, the Nicky Gumbel thing, he was telling a story in the week of a friend who had good news. Now, I don't know what you're like if you've got news, good news. None of you, there's only a couple of you who look like you've got good news at the moment. Any good news, not just the good news, any good news, that's better. You're getting a bit more smiley now. The pressure's off. Yeah. You're excited, yes, yes, yeah. You do, don't you? Sort of, some of you move. You want to, you just want to go, whoa, I've got news, yay. And you jump up and down and you, I was going to say you run around, but you can't. Well, little on the spot. Yeah. A little bit of a movement. Well, this person that he was talking about, they had some good news. They'd been wanting a baby and finally she'd conceived. So the wait was over. And he said she was literally carrying the good news, which I thought was really good, you know. And he's saying, you know, there's nothing more exciting than being the bearer of good news. And then he goes on to remind us that we too are the bearers of good news. The message of Jesus is inside each one of us, just wanting to come out, to burst out of us. And that's why he says that we, according to the Apostle Paul, and he writes in Romans 10:15, but he's quoting Isaiah 52. It says, "And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." It's a lovely image, isn't it? And I'm not too keen on feet myself, but actually when you think about it in the way that we spread the good news, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. As followers, we are all called to share the good news of Jesus. The word preach tends to put us off. Let's just call it share. And like, as I know, some of us, like myself, have the immense privilege of being called to do it full time. As I was sharing at Ron's funeral on Thursday, talking to the family and those that were there, it's such a privilege to be able to do that and to talk God stuff and get paid for it. I mean, who wouldn't like it? But I was doing it long before I became a minister. And he himself writes that way back in his diary in 1978, I haven't got a diary going back that far, but he said he was practicing law and he wrote in his prayer diary, "I long to spend my whole time preaching the gospel, telling people about the love of Jesus." And that's the heart of the good news, is that righteousness that comes by faith. Righteousness is such a big word that we just go, I don't know what that means. It's being right with God. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The gospel is for everyone. Some people think, well, it's not for me because I'm not good enough. Well, none of us are, but we do our best. And that's what Jesus wants us to do, our best, because we don't do it in our own strength. We're all to show the love of Jesus in our actions and our attitudes. Importantly, we don't usually have to use a lot of words, which is a quite relief, really, isn't it? We should be able to show with our lives that we love Jesus, because that's what gets the conversation going, that people can see Jesus shining out of us and that they want to know more. We have to show it in the way that we live. Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, describes to us the general reverence, it says, for the believers and their leaders that had come to pervade Jerusalem. I love the word pervade. It's that permeated. The signs and wonders that the apostles were doing, they were showing the love of Jesus. And they had literally permeated Jerusalem. Wouldn't it be lovely if we could permeate Hazelmere? That's your challenge. Hi Wycombe to those on Zoom. But that's what they were doing. And Paul writes, aren't we to be the fragrance of Christ? For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. It's one of my favourite verses because it actually smells like it sounds. And it's what we're to be in our communities and from where we're from. Sorry, I'm on Hazelmere and High Wycombe, but also you as well, no excuse. And we see, didn't we, in chapter 4, that they'd prayed for boldness, they'd prayed for courage, and so can we. And as we get to verse 29, you know, Peter speaks up. We must obey God rather than men. That is so difficult, isn't it? So difficult to put God first in everything that we do when the powers that be and those around us are really giving us a hard time. But as I say, it was the same then as it is now. Nothing's changed at the moment, other than the time that Jesus returns is getting closer. As I was thinking about that particular verse in the prayer diary that I get from Open Doors, there was a story about a gentleman called Sudeep, and they've changed his name for his protection. And I just want to share it with you as an indication of what's going on. We talk a lot about persecution in the world, and we take it for granted, don't we, that we can meet here, and at the moment we can do that with relative freedom. It says that he was raised as a Hindu in a remote village in central India. He was married and settled with two children. His wife developed a chronic illness but was healed when she attended their local church. That's the day that Sudeep gave his life to Jesus. He attended a Bible course and began sharing about Jesus in his community. But 2 years into his ministry, the persecution began. The police would force their way into his church, he says, and shove him into their vehicle, locking him up in jail many times for long hours. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Haven't we just read that? And while in the lockup, they would threaten him harshly and try to force him to leave his faith and stop preaching. And then it goes on to say that just when he was beginning to feel discouraged, the local Open Doors, as I say, this is the charity that I was reading the prayer diary from, partners, invited him to attend persecution survival training made possible by the gifts and prayers of those who support that organisation. He said, "I was excited to learn about how persecution was relevant in shaping my faith," he says. "I was also taught how I had rights as a citizen of India, and I was doing nothing wrong by living my faith." Not long after he completed the training, the persecution grew worse. His entire village formed a mob and forced him into the local temple. He says he shudders while even remembering the incident. They asked him to bow down before all of the idols. He denied instantly, but they threatened him, saying, and I won't go into the detail of what they threatened with, but it ended up saying, "And we will kill you if you do not leave this foreign faith." It was at that moment when something happened. God reminded me of everything I have learned in the persecution survival trainings. I spoke courageously about the rights I had as a citizen and that I was not committing any crime by meeting with the Christians and preaching amongst them. The police were amazed at my boldness, and then they turned back to the assaulters, asking them not to trouble me again. And he says that Sudeep is grateful for our continued prayers and support. How does it feel when there's a whole fleet of police cars surrounding you and they keep you locked in a dark jail for hours? He said, "I live with so much fear after facing that several times, but the Lord stood with me and gave me the strength I needed." He says the teachings from Open Doors partners have worked to impart that strength to me. All I need is his love, and I'm not going to give up it up for anything else. And we'll use the prayers that we're asked to pray in a moment. But if you remember last week, it's the same in this country. Christian Institute reminds us that in our country, the law protects gospel freedom, and we should not be afraid to use it where necessary. We might think that that might never happen, but it's already happening. If you read the newspapers, that our voices are getting more and more silent as we're pushed further and further away from what society is doing to itself. Personal witness is not illegal here. And so verse 20 encourages us to tell others about this life, this way that we choose to follow. We should realise, shouldn't we, from the 2 years of pandemic, that it showed us just how many people were searching and seeking for hope, for truth, and for life. And still, many are seeking. It's not just ended because the pandemic's over and most of us have gone back to our lives in the way that they were. How many times has someone said to you, "I wish I could believe like you," or "if only I'd got what you have"? If they haven't, then perhaps we might need to make some lifestyle changes to live in the way that God calls us to. But if asked, many non-believers would acknowledge to wanting a new chance in life, to get rid of all the stuff that kind of they carry with them as a burden, to have a new purpose, a new beginning. Many Christians would say, and we've probably all said it ourselves, "You need Jesus." That's not helpful when you're a non-believer. How? That's what we need to be able to tell them, how they can have the new life that is found through Christ alone. And good news, everybody, when we became followers and believers, we became teachers. Yay! Because when we were saved, the Holy Spirit moved in, and that's why we are able to speak. If you remember last week or whenever, the week before, I said to you, remember who brought you to faith. And it might be one person, it might be a number of people, but remember, think about it later. Think, how did they do it? How did they do it? Did they tell you? Did they show you? Did they do a bit of both? It's not actually as difficult as we think. Because each of us has a story. Each of us has a witness, that testimony that we talk about. To be faithful and committed to studying the Bible, and we learn more and more about Jesus. But essentially we do it, as I keep saying, by the power of his Holy Spirit. That's how we are equipped to show and to teach and instruct others how they can have a new life in Christ. If you've been wondering how to share the good news of the gospel, perhaps a few of these things might help. As I say, people love stories. How often when we sit and share together and you'll say something and people will listen, won't they, because you have a story to tell. We all like stories. As I've said before, when I shared my testimony before I was ordained, the guys who also shared his testimony at the same time, his was a real bam moment. And mine wasn't. Mine was, "I've been in church since I was a baby. I came to know Christ after my dad died." But so many people could relate to it, because not everyone has the bam story, but we each have a story. Things that we've been going through. It's so powerful. And we think about our lives, don't we, before we met Jesus. Can you remember your lives before Jesus? Can you remember your lives after Jesus? Some of you are going, yep. Some of you are going, struggling with that a bit. Some of you are not committing because I'm looking. I can tell you, you can. You can remember your life before and after, and that's all people need to know about. You know, and as I say, if they can't see it, then we need to make some lifestyle changes. We have to remember what our lives are like now that we've been rescued from sin and death. We sing it through the hymns. That's what Jesus has done in each of our lives. That's what he's done through the cross. Sadly, society has lost its way so badly that it doesn't actually understand that concept of sin and death anymore. It doesn't understand what it will mean to be internally separated from God. But we, each of us, can say how our old life passed away and our new life began. But also that being a Christian doesn't automatically make life easier, as we've just heard. You know, that's just one in billions of stories. But it does give us that bright hope for the future that the world is just longing for. You can feel it aching, can't you? You can feel it just looking and searching. Our salvation experience matters. It's one of the best opportunities we have to share the good news with others. And for those who haven't come to Christ yet, you're on the journey. So you've already started your story. And the other good news is we don't have to remember every word that's in the Bible. We don't have to know it in and out, because even if we study it all the days of our lives, we will not know everything that's in there, because we know what it was like when we first read it, and we know what it's like when we have the Holy Spirit helping us read it. New things come out of it time and time again. Even passages that we were once familiar with suddenly take on new meaning the more that we grow in our faith. But we do need to know a few just to be able to answer some of the questions that we'll get answered. And the thing is we don't actually know all the questions we're going to get asked. The amount of times I've had to say, I don't actually know, I'll come back to you. The important thing is that we do. But humankind needs a saviour. Paul tells us in Romans 3, doesn't he, that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And he says everyone. So no matter how good you think you are, you're not. And no matter how bad we think somebody else is, we're all in the same boat. Because to God, sin is sin. Jesus needs to be in our lives to make us holy enough that we will be able to see God. That was the plan of God for humankind, that we need a saviour, that we would enjoy fellowship with him forever. That's the hope. That's what Revelation tells us at the end of the Bible. He desires for each of us to conform to the image of Jesus. I don't feel Jesus-like every day of my life. Some days as far from it as I could get. But we are all being transformed inside. We also need to say that Jesus is the Saviour. Now, we can all remember the nativity story, can't we? Yes. So I'm just helping you here with you. We don't need to know all of the Bible. But we do know the verse from Brother Luke, who said, "For unto us a child is born, a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." I could see your lips moving, so I knew that you knew that verse. Hold on to that verse. That is the one that will tell people that Jesus is the Saviour. There's loads more. That's one that I just picked out because that's the one that sprung into mind when I was writing. But also we need to tell them how to receive Christ as their Saviour. Just saying you need Jesus is not enough. We need to tell them how. And in Romans 10 we have those words, "But if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." The ABC, accept, believe, confess. Doesn't matter that we don't know the Bible inside out and backwards, but we can start to as we share together in Bible studies and in our own personal readings. But we can share our story, we can be witnesses. Best thing is we've got the Holy Spirit. So actually it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. It's not our job to make people to believe. As I've said to so many people over this week, you know, in a conversation, we can plant a seed. We might not necessarily see it grow. But as long as we're speaking up when the opportunity comes, God will do the rest through his Holy Spirit. It's up to him to work in the hearts of humankind. And we have to pray hard. Are we all praying for at least one person to come to Christ? Maybe in our family, maybe our friends network. Maybe somebody that we've had a conversation in the supermarket. You know what I'm like. Are we praying for at least one person? One of the Lent challenges was pray for 5 people. It's really hard, but it's worthwhile doing because we ask that the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And we can ask God for wisdom. told that, aren't we, in James? And we know that he will give it when we need it. But we must and can fully rely on the Holy Spirit. New life, the way, the life is available to everyone. So be encouraged. God will open the doors for each one of us, just as he did for the apostles. And when he does, be ready to tell people all about this new life. I love the wise man at the end of the reading that we've got that said, if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. God, the gospel, is not censored. When we speak honestly and truthfully and faithfully, it will not be overthrown. That's our reassurance. Surely that should boost our confidence. And as we get to the end, it says they were beaten. And, you know, we kind of get an idea of what that would have been like. Flogged, I think you read. You know, that wasn't a little slap. That was proper beating. Their backs would have been bleeding. But they came out rejoicing. And we often read that in the Bible, don't we? They have some horrible things, but they still rejoice. Because as it says, having been considered worthy to suffer for their witness in Jesus' name, which they boldly resumed despite the Sanhedrin's threat, like, as we read, Sudeep did as soon as he was released. He went back to preaching the word of God. It says, every day did not cease teaching and preaching. Because after all, they just wanted to tell everyone. And they wanted them to know that Jesus loves them, didn't they? But the gospel is so much more than that. It's life. It's a way of life. And each one of us is worthy through Christ's Holy Spirit to show it, to share it, and sometimes to suffer for it. So in the words of the hymn, let each one of us stand up for Jesus. Amen. So we come to our time of prayer, and as I said at the start, we'll pray the prayers not just for Sudeep, but for all those in similar situations. So let's pray. Father, we're asked to pray for Sudeep's ministry as he advocates for himself and the Christians in his community. Father, each one of us may be supporters of other organisations and other people, may have knowledge of other situations. And so, Lord, we pray for everyone who advocates for themselves and for the Christians in those communities, Lord, particularly those in the environments where the persecution is so huge. Lord, we're asked to pray that Sudeep's persecutors would come to know God's love through his witness. Oh, Lord, that just seems beyond our comprehension. But we thank you, Lord, for people like Sudeep, for all those, Lord, in countries that are being persecuted. For our own country, Lord, where the word of God is getting diluted and polluted. Lord, may those who persecute come to know your love through his witness, through their witness, through our witness. Lord, we're asked to pray for your protection and strength for the Open Doors partners in India. Lord, we thank you for organisations like Open Doors, Release and other charities, Lord, who work in the persecuted countries. We thank you for their commitment. We thank you that you go with them in all that they are seeking to do. Lord, we thank you that each one of us can pray for different countries, for different people, for our own country and our own towns and our own communities, for our families and our friends. Lord, give us the strength that only comes through your Holy Spirit. and a prayer by John Birch. You call us to be your light in the darkness, your voice in the wilderness, your hope for the hopeless. You give us strength in our weakness, peace and gentleness, words and boldness to proclaim more of you and of us less. Lord, may we be committed to you as you are to each one of us, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. So as we commit ourselves again, we'll join together and sing number 302. I want to walk with Jesus Christ all the days I live on this life on earth. Pray. Let's take that song in our heart and make them our prayer as we seek to serve him. We have been called to live in the power of the Holy Spirit and to share the love of God with our neighbour and to rely on the grace of Christ in all things. We go because he who called us now sends us and will be with us always. Lord, we go with your praise, our praise on our lips. Amen. Just a couple of things to tell you. So the diary obviously shows a depleted programme, but we'll still be praying throughout August. So please come and join us for half an hour on a Monday morning. You don't have to pray. You can just come and enjoy the peace. The schoolroom is going to be painted, so enjoy your cup of coffee this morning when you go through, because it's the last one you're going to get till September. And if anyone hasn't yet signed up to help Nigel and the team with the painting, decorating, cleaning, and anything else that's on the list, please see Nigel. And Hanover Court would like me to invite you to their tabletop sale next Saturday at 12 o'clock outside, and the chime will change if it rains. Thank you.